Let us turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24, and I invite you to read together with me verse 19 to 24. Let us read verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, and lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man shall serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The Lord bless the reading of his holy and sacred word. Let us look to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks that tonight we can come into thy presence, even to worship thee. We give thee thanks for the rendering of our voices, to praise the one who is worthy of our adoration and our worship. We want to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and we want to learn from thy word as well. What it means to commit ourselves to serve the one living and true God. As we learn lessons pertaining to Christ, the head of the church, O Lord, we want to learn our responsibility as well. We want to rise up to respond to whatever we have learned. So help us this night, even as we consider from thy precious word. May the Spirit of God teach us, convict our hearts, and that we may serve thee with all faithfulness and with all humility. Bless thy people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have been asked, what is the greatest threat to your service for Christ? We say Christ is the head of the church. We are his body. We want to serve him. What is the greatest threat to our service for Christ? What is the greatest hindrance for our love for our Savior Jesus Christ? What would you say it is? Is it money? Perhaps there's no topic that our Lord Jesus discussed in his ministry more than money and possessions. Most certainly our Lord Jesus, he knew about the common struggle of every man. In the passage that we have just read, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, even to the end of the chapter, our Lord Jesus talks about eating and drinking. He talks about our worries for the necessities of life. He talks about our perspective about money and material things. The way we handle money is perhaps one of the clearest indications of our spiritual condition. It is a very important topic. In fact, if you read through the Bible has more than 500 references referring to prayers, or almost 500 verses pertaining to faith, but almost 2,000 references that talk about money and material things. Out of 38 parables in the Bible, 16 of them will teach us how to deal with money and material things. 1 out of 10 verses in the Gospel deals with money and material things. Altogether, 288 verses in the 4 Gospels. It is a very important topic. And this is something for our consideration tonight. The title of our message is Serving God with an Undivided Heart. We want to serve Christ, the head of the church. How can we serve Him with a heart that is divided? We want to serve Him with an undivided heart, and there's three important points about serving God with an undivided heart. Only one treasure, only one vision, and only one master. These are our three points. Jesus says in verse 19 to 21, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The words lay up and treasure come from the Greek basic word from where we get the English word for treasury or thesaurus, treasury of words, thesaurus. In other words, if you read this sentence, it can also mean, do not treasure up treasures for yourselves upon earth. Treasure is a very descriptive term. It could be something that motivates a person in his daily, everyday life. A treasure is something that worth a certain value to us if it is our treasure. A man will not treasure something that is of no value to him. He will only treasure something that is of a certain value. Why is $50, a $50 bill worth $50? It is worth $50 obviously not because of the ink, not because of the paper, but because of a certain value that has been assigned to the note. Once an amount or a value has been assigned to the note, all of a sudden it takes on all kinds of influences in our lives, right? We begin to treasure it. In fact, we will subject our lives to this note in certain ways. The quality of our lives will be determined by how many of such notes we have. How many we have will determine where we live. How much we have will also determine what kind of house we will stay in, what kind of food we will eat, what kind of clothes we will wear, what kinds of friends we will associate with. In fact, it will even determine our future plans, our retirement plans, etc. It can become a tremendous influence in our lives. Before you know it, it has become something that you live for. The Bible uses a very interesting word for it, treasure. Do you realize that we all live in pursuit for something in life? Every one of us. Everyone lives for some treasure. Something that is valuable, something that we have assigned certain value to it. Some people value acceptance more than others. They are very concerned about how people will respond to them. They want people to accept them. When we look at these people, we say, these people are just living for the acceptance of others. They are living their lives for others. Some people live for power and control. They are always trying to move themselves in places of prominence. They want to bring attention to themselves. They like to have control over almost everything. Some people like to live for successes and accomplishments. They are driven by this mentality that I must succeed in everything. They are workaholics. They may not aim for big successes, but they just move from one accomplishment to another. Life is all about accomplishments. Some people live, the majority of us live for the comfort of material possessions. We surround ourselves with expensive houses, expensive cars, and the worldly securities. We may not even need to have all these things, but we just have a strong desire to want to have these things. We already qualify ourselves. We are easily attracted to the things of this world. For many of us, life is light, a life of accumulation, surrounding ourselves with all these things that we think will bring us contentment. But the problem is, a lifestyle like that, focused on contentment, will never bring contentment, because enough is never enough, right? It will never be enough. Do you have more than what you need? Is your enough ever enough? Do you actually have enough in life? If you are a born-again Christian, ask yourself this evening, how much of my time, how much of my energy, how much of my resources are invested in things that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God? That will tell us where our treasure is. Can you imagine? We all have one life to live. And we live this one life with only one purpose: to make our moments on this earth more comfortable for ourselves. If we have another 5 years on this earth, and we focus these 5 years just to make this moment more comfortable for ourselves, forgetting about eternity. How foolish, right? Eternity, 1 million upon 1 million years, is still not eternity. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Christ was not against wealth. The Bible was never against wealth. Abraham himself was extremely wealthy. The Bible tells us at the later part of Job's life, he was very wealthy. Job 42 verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he has 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. The Bible also has many teachings about working hard and has warnings for those who are lazy. Remember, Proverbs 6, verse 6 says, go to the end, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. The ant is a tiny little creature. And we, as a human being, someone who is lazy, God says, go to the ant and learn. Learn to work hard. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10 says, if you don't work, don't eat. And then 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says, you ought to provide for your own family. If you do not provide for those of your own household, you are worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever. Work hard. It is all right for us to provide for our families. It is right for us to make reasonable plans for the future. It is right for us to have provisions that we may carry on the business. Jesus is not saying it is wrong to invest in material things. He's saying it is wrong when we have those things to be the treasure that orientates our life. When we allow these things to be the treasures, and then these treasures will orientate our lives. The key to Jesus' warning here is the word yourself. Lay not up for yourself. Because you accumulate possessions simply for yourself, simply for your own sakes. And then they become our treasures, only good for this earth. If you have been blessed by God, and you use the resources to the advancement of God's kingdom, you use the resources to help others. You use the resources willingly, lovingly for the kingdom of God. You are accumulating heavenly treasures, aren't you? Where moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves cannot break through or steal. Nothing on this earth is completely safe from destruction and theft. Nothing. Banks, financial institutions can all of a sudden go bankrupt. When we watch the prices of houses and currency fluctuate, that will tell us how secure they are. They aren't secure at all. They fluctuate. Heavenly security is the absolute security. Not your house, not your car, certainly not your bank accounts. My friends, even if we can keep our possessions perfectly secure in our lifetime, when we draw our last breath, we still have to say goodbye. We have to part with our money, with our possessions. Naked we come, naked we go. We cannot carry a single cent. We need not carry a single cent with us. A story was told of a stingy miser who called his doctor, his lawyer, and his minister to his deathbed. The dying man said, "People always say you cannot take anything with you when you die, but I'm going to try. I have 3 envelopes with $30,000 in cash in each of them. I want each of you to take one envelope. And as they lower my casket into the grave, throw in the envelopes." Eventually, the man died, and the 3 men threw in the envelopes as requested. But on the way home, the minister confessed and he said, "I needed money for the church. So I took 10,000 and threw in 20,000. The doctor said, "I too must confess. I'm building my clinic. I took 20,000 and threw in 10,000. The lawyer said, "Shame on you too. How can you do that to this man whom you say you love? I threw in my personal check of 30,000. It's funny, right? But no one will cash that check. Naked you come, naked you go. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your most valuable treasure and your deepest motives and desires cannot be separated. If money is your treasure, there your heart will be also. If heaven and serving God is your treasure, there your heart will be also. It is impossible to have your treasure on earth and your heart in heaven. You either have both on earth or both in heaven. You cannot say, 'My heart is with God, but my treasure is on this earth.' So the heart must be right first. If the heart is right, everything else will fall in place. The person whose heart is right with God only have one treasure, heavenly treasure, focusing on God. He will be very generous, happy in giving to the Lord's work. On the other hand, the person whose treasure is on this earth is covetous, stingy. He will find every reason to question his relationship with God. So ask yourself, do you feel certain pain in your heart whenever you give off your money? Whenever you have been called to obey the commandment to give of your tithes, to give of your offerings, when there's an ACM and then you realize that the church funds, they are going down, you are called to give, do you feel a certain pain? That will tell you how much or how important money is to you. They will tell you where your treasure is. Why do you think God says, or the Bible says, God loveth a cheerful giver? Why didn't the Bible just simply say, God loveth the giver? It's sufficient. Because it is not just the give. It is the heart behind the giving that is even more important. Every one of us lives for some kind of treasures. The question is your treasure on this earth or is your treasure in heaven? The thing that is your treasure will also control your heart. And once that something becomes the center of your life, it will also control your desires, the thoughts, the emotions, and the way you interpret life. Everything you see in this life, everything you experience in this life, will be seen through this thing that is in your heart. And that is why from our treasure, our Lord, He went on to talk about our vision, the way we look at things. And that is our second point. Only one vision. We must have only one treasure, heavenly treasure. Now we must have only one vision. Verse 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Think of the metaphor of the eye. If your eyes see well, you enter the room, and the room is full of light, you will take in the light. And then you will walk in the light. But if you walk into the same room, but your eyes are blind, no matter how much light you have around you, you will not be able to see. You'll be walking in darkness. You are incapable of walking in the light. You are incapable of seeing the light. The eye is the only channel of light we can receive. Therefore, our only means of vision. In a spiritual sense, the heart is the eye of the soul. It is through the heart that God's truth, God's love, God's peace, and every other spiritual blessings come to us. If our eyes be single, which means when our heart, which is our spiritual eyes, is clear, we see things with a single-minded devotion. And when we see things with a single-minded devotion, our whole body shall be full of light, which means our entire life shall be filled with spiritual understanding. Everything we see, everything we experience, everything we encounter will be seen through this spiritual perspective because our spiritual eyes can see. But if the eye is evil, which means it is blinded, it is damaged, what happens? No spiritual light will enter. The whole body shall be full of darkness. If our hearts are choked with material things, if our concerns are only on the physical things on this earth, we will become blind and insensitive to spiritual things. Everything we evaluate will be according to dollars and cents. Such a man is spiritually blind, incapable of seeing the light. He cannot recognize the true light. He thinks he has the light. He thinks he is wise, but in reality, he does not. He thought he was walking in the light, but then he's deceiving himself. And the Bible says, how great is that darkness? You know, when we look at people who are blinded, they live as if this is the only life they have in this world. They refuse to think about heavenly things. They refuse to think about God. They are not interested in the gospel. They do not want to hear about spiritual things. But when you talk to them about investments, you talk to them about money, you talk to them about how to pursue after the things of this world, they are very interested. They think they are wise. But in reality, how great is that darkness? What is the point our Lord Jesus is making? The material things of this world has the ability, my friend, to blind us. So much so that we ourselves do not realize that we are spiritually blind. You know, in some churches, they look for rich and influential people to be their leaders. Never mind their spiritual qualifications. Never mind whether you need to examine them. No need. They are wealthy when they come in, and especially when they come into the leadership, our tithes, our offerings will go up. Such a church is blind. They think they are wise. They think they can see, but they are blind. When you have parents advising their children to look for those who are rich rather than looking for those who are spiritual for life partners, you have fathers telling their daughters, when you choose a husband, look for someone who is well-to-do, someone who has a well-paid job, someone who can take care of you financially, for the rest of your life, someone who will not ask you to go out to work. Never mind about his spirituality. Never mind even if he's an unbeliever. We'll talk about this later on. Just get married. Things will be fine. Such parents are blind. It is very interesting that people tend to think they will be contented as long as they have money. Right? They think money is everything. As long as I have money, I'll be happy. As long as I have money, I'll be contented. When I was young, I heard this story about a certain unhappy king who was so discontented with life. He called in his counselors and asked for help. The counselors all agreed that if the king could find a happy man and borrow his shirt, wear it for one day, he'll be happy. The king immediately issued the search for this happy man. His people searched and searched. They almost gave up. Finally, they found the happy man. But the problem is, though, he had no shirt. Contentment has nothing to do with your shirt. It has nothing to do with what you wear, what you eat, where you stay, what kind of friends you have. The Bible tells us contentment is when you realize that God is the one who bless you with all blessings, that you are taken care of by the Almighty God. That is why 1 Timothy 6 verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. It's not the amount of money you have. It is not the place you stay, the car you drive. But it is godliness. You are happy that God provides for your needs. And that is great gain. It is interesting that nobody ever thinks he's desiring too much material things. Nobody ever admits he's greedy. I have not been in the ministry for many years, but in my short course of this ministry, I've never come across someone who will come to the pastor and saying, Pastor, I have this problem with greed. I'm too greedy. I've known of people who come to the pastor and say, Pastor, I have problem with depression. I have problem with adultery. I have marital problem. I have problems leading my own children. I have problem with my teenage boy. But I've not come across someone who will come to the pastor and say, I'm too greedy. Can you help me? I'm covetous. In fact, the moment someone comes to the church and preach a message on greed or covetous, they are happy that someone else is there to hear. Thank God that brother is here. He should take it by faith. He has problem with greed, but never themselves. It's always someone else. You know, it is a frightening thought that people deceive themselves into believing they are spiritual, but in reality, they are blind. They are focusing on the things of this earth. Their treasures are on this earth, not in heaven. Their eyes are blind. They can't see. Only can see the things of this earth, not heavenly things. As we have said in our past messages, they have not the slightest idea what the preacher is talking about. Not the slightest idea what the Bible is talking about. Living in darkness. When your heart is placed on the wrong treasure, your vision is blinded. When your vision is blinded, you have no ability to see with a spiritual eyes, with a spiritual perspective. You do not know or think about heaven. You only think about this earth. You will not think about God. You only think about yourself. You will not think about eternal life. You only think about this physical life. Everything you see will be measured by dollars and cents. Everything. Because you have already assigned a value to the things of this earth and you make them your treasure. You will not care about how much the church has to pursue the things of God for the gospel work, but you care about how much you have in your bank for your retirement, as if you're going to live forever on this earth. Martin Lloyd-Jones once told the story of a farmer. One day, the farmer came into his kitchen. He was very happy. He told his wife, the cow just gave birth to twins, one brown and one white. And he said, I feel the need to dedicate one of these cows to the Lord. We will bring them up together. When they are big enough, we will sell them and keep the money from one, and we will give the money we receive for the other to the Lord. His wife, she knew him. She went straight to the issue and she asked, which is the Lord's cow? The white one or the brown one? The farmer replied, well, there's no need to worry about that now. They are still young. Let them grow up first. Then we decide. When we are about to sell them, then we decide. Don't worry about it. Some months later, he entered into the same kitchen. He looked very, very sad. His wife asked him why. He replied, I have bad news. The Lord's cow has just died. Perhaps the question we need to ask ourselves is, why is it always the Lord's? That is the real issue, right? Where is your treasure? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is it in heaven or on this earth? It is either God or this world. You cannot have both. Once your heart is fixed on that treasure, you will begin to see things with that in perspective. It is either in the light or it is in darkness. So if we want to serve the Lord, who is said to be the head of the church, Christ, the one who died on the cross to save us from our sins, we want to serve him with all our hearts, then our hearts must not be divided. And there's only one way our hearts cannot be divided, and that is to have only one treasure, only one vision. And the last point is, we must have only one master. Look at verse 24 to 26. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Just as we cannot have our treasures both in heaven and in earth, or living in the light and in darkness, you cannot serve two masters. The thing that has become your treasure will control your heart. And what controls your heart will control your behavior. And once it takes control of your heart, it will set the agenda for your words, for your decisions, for your actions, and your responses. It will become your master. Surely it will. And no man can serve two masters. The word serve here does not mean being an employee in a job. It is from the word where we get born slave. In other words, you cannot be enslaved to two masters. It is either one or the other. You cannot be slaves of both. In ancient times, every slave was a servant, but not every servant was a slave. A servant could work for more than one master, but not the slave. In those days, a slave was not considered a person, but a thing. He belongs to his master. He had no rights. He was a living tool. He was the property of a master. To be constantly, totally, 100% devoted in obedience to one master only. A slave could only serve one, his own by only one. He's entirely obligated to only one. It is utterly impossible to serve two masters. So Jesus says he cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon can mean earthly possessions. He's actually saying you cannot be enslaved to God and then be enslaved to money or wealth at the same time. You will only serve one master. Exclusively, only one. Have you ever noticed a snake? You look carefully at the tongue, carefully, close enough not to get bitten. It has a forked tongue. It has a split tongue. The serpent speaks with a forked tongue. What he says is not what he means. What he means, you will not know. Do not have a double tongue. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. Yet many of us will say, I love God, but at the same time, I'm slave to this world. You have a forked tongue, right? We were once dead in our sins. We were walking according to the course of this world. We were walking according to the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan. We were by nature under the wrath of God. Satan, the devil, was our master. But God so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross at Calvary to save us from our sins. Through the word of God, through the working of the Spirit of God, he convicted our hearts. We cried out to God. We embraced Jesus Christ. We call him our Lord. Is he our only master? If he is our Lord, he must be our only master. Jesus Christ must be our master exclusively. The one who transported us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you think he knows what is in our hearts? Do you think he knows that we call him our Lord, but in reality, in our hearts, we have another master? Do you think he knows? He knows. He's able to see even into the deepest recesses of our hearts. He knows our thoughts. Nothing escapes his eyes. He's omniscient. He's all powerful. We are always in His presence. Is Christ your master? If He is, then He owns you. And if He owns you, then you must render exclusive service to Him. Do not be enslaved to mammon or money or wealth or the material things of this world. They are not your masters. Do not live under their authority. Do not live under their dominion. Dedicate your life to the only master. Exclusively, Christ is my master. Only one. It is far, far better to have our treasures in heaven than to have our treasures on this earth. Where is your treasure? In heaven or on this earth? What is your vision? You see things in the light or you see things in darkness? Who is your master? God or mammon? Now, these are questions only you yourself can answer, not your husband. He cannot answer on your behalf, not your wife. She cannot answer on your behalf, not your parents, not your children. Only you know who is your master, what is your treasure, and what is your vision. What about your children? As parents, we have children. Are we worried for our children? Do you think money is all they need in this life? Many parents, especially Asians, they work very hard. They save up money. Only one vision. See everything with a spiritual perspective. And only one master, Jesus Christ. There's no one else can be our master. I think nothing is more insulting to God, who has redeemed us from our sins, given us His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, bless us with spiritual blessings, even physical blessings, listen to all our prayers, answer our supplications, and then to see through all our services and to see through all our actions that we are actually serving money. It is so sad. The one we profess to believe in, He sees into our hearts.
Sound check, 1, 2, 3, sound check.
We are not.
Sound check, 1, 2, 3, sound check.
Putting Him as our master.
Sound check.
As a church, what is our treasure? Tabernacle BB Church, what is our treasure? What is our vision? Who is our master? Do we really serve the Lord whom we love? Do we really focus on the gospel? Are we concerned about the salvation of souls? Are we concerned about how much resources we have? You know, there was a time, perhaps this church only supports one full-time staff. Now you have three. And then you are also supporting FEBC students. You are also supporting mission. Then you are worried, will God provide for the needs of the church? We do not even have a physical building. Will God provide? Yet He's opening gospel doors. He's calling people into the church. Will my God supply all my needs? As a family, maybe you have just gotten married. You just had a first child. And then you want your wife to stay at home, take care of the child. Then she tells you, I'm expecting again. You say, now too. So no, you must go out and work. Or you have perhaps children who are growing up, going to study in the uni. You're worried. Should I go out to work even on Sundays? I have double pay. But I love my Lord. I want to worship Him on Sunday. He has commanded me to keep the Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath. I must keep. But I will be paid double. Do you trust Him enough to provide for all your needs? I'm not saying that we do not have needs. I'm not saying that we do not have concerns or challenges or issues of life. We have many. But our Master, He who loves us so dearly that He shed His precious blood and died on the cross at Calvary, will He not provide for all your needs? Will He not provide for my needs? Most certainly He would. He will surely provide for all our needs. You know, by way of testimony, I'm very, very weak with mathematics. I thank God for that. If I am not weak in mathematics and I start to calculate, I'll be very fearful of the future. When the Lord first called me into the full-time ministry, I was working with my father. My father had a restaurant. My relatives, they thought I was crazy. They said, "You should take over your dad's business. And you are going to the ministry." They thought I'll be well paid. "How much is your ministry paying you?" I said, $250. I was a Bible college student. They said, "What? $250? You want to have a family? You must be out of your mind." But the Lord called me. I want to serve Him. God brought a woman into my life. She was my friend then. She earned more than me. She received $400. And I do not know whether this woman is God's will for me. And I asked her many questions. Among the many questions I asked her was one. I brought her to my father's shop. And I said, "If I were to finish my studies at FEBC, and I don't enter into full-time, I just work for my dad, take over the business. If we get married one day, we probably will be able to have a car, have a house, and raise up our own children, God willing. I can serve in the church." This woman said to me, "Your name is Paul, right? Why have you become Jonah? Why are you running away from God when He has called you?" And I realized that God has blessed me with this woman. And I thank God for that. He has provided for all my needs. Never failed me. Has He failed you? Has He ever failed to provide for your needs? We worry. But our God, He loves us. He will never fail us. In verse 26, Jesus commands us. He says, "Look at the birds of the air." But what do the birds of the air have to teach us? As you look at the birds of the air, they are not sowing, they are not reaping, they are not gathering into barns. Our Heavenly Father knows their needs and feeds them regularly. The birds of the air. You know, I love to watch birds flying. I love to watch birds hopping around. Sometimes I like to throw crumbs and see how they come. I love to have them flying around. Watch them fly. It's so graceful, so wonderful. Have you ever seen a skinny and skeleton-looking bird? Have you ever seen? I've never seen one. Except I believe that one must be very, very sick. I've never seen a skeleton-looking bird. Almost every bird I watch, I look, will be very healthy-looking, right? They do not sow. They do not reap. They do not gather into barns, yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Whether in summer, in winter, they look very healthy. I used to wonder how many birds there are in this world. The birds in Australia seem so different from the birds here. There must be billions and billions of them, yet our Heavenly Father feeds them on a regular, daily basis. Will He not provide for you? O ye of little faith, ye children bought by the precious blood of God, Jesus says, do not worry. Why do you worry? The birds do not worry, yet we are worrying. We are of more value than the birds of the air. Jesus, when he died on the cross at Calvary, his death has nothing to do with birds. You know, his death has only to do with you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is you and it is me Jesus came for. He died on the cross. Will he not provide for you? Will he not provide for me? Yes, he will. Christ is the head of the church. He must be our master and our only master. Individually, every one of us must say, he is my master. And we do not speak with a forked tongue, but with a tongue that means business. He is truly my only master. And I have only one treasure, not two. I know I'm just living in this temporal world. Soon I'll be called home. Whether it be 5 years, 10 years, my business is to not make this 5 years, 10 years more comfortable. My business is to do my Lord's business. I have only one treasure. Build up my heavenly treasures that moth nor rust cannot corrupt. No thieves can steal because my heavenly Father, he keeps them. One vision. I look at things not with a dollar sign. I look at things not with a mental calculator, looking at whether it is worth, valuable, or whether it is an investment or not. I look at it with a heavenly perspective, spiritual perspective. If God be glorified, if God opened the gospel door, I will want to take this step of faith. I want to serve him all the days of my life. Can you say that? Christ, the head of the church. He commanded us, and he says to us, no man can serve two masters. I pray that all of us, not just during this camp we say, I want to serve this one master, but every day of our lives. We are not perfect. We may stumble, we may fall. Sometimes we may struggle, but God will cause us to rise up again, trust him, and live to the glory of his name. If you have forgotten whatever I've said tonight, remember at least these 3 points. If you want to serve God with an undivided heart, you must have only one treasure. You must have only one vision. And you must have only one master. May the Lord's name be blessed. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for this night, that even as we finish the messages in the camp, how thou wilt cause us to come to this scripture text. Not by chance, nor coincidence, but thou hast caused us to consider this passage in Matthew chapter 6, the words said by our Lord Jesus. Help us, even as we desire in our hearts to serve thee. We do not want to serve thee just by paying lip services. We want to mean business with thee. We want to serve thee in a manner that will glorify the one living and true God. We want to serve thee with an undivided heart, with only one treasure, with only one vision, and serving only one master, that our services for thee may be found pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. Bless thy people, empower us by thy Spirit, continue to keep us, Bless this church, Tabernacle BP Church, that it may flourish, that it may be focused on the things of God, that the people may be edified, and that Christ will always be the head of this church, and we, his body, will always glorify him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before I pass the time, I have just two questions someone asked just before the message.